Picture for a moment, if you would, a warm summer's day. Easy, I guess, on a day like today as the sun is streaming out there, although it is a little cold. Not quite so easy if you think about the last couple of days when we've been trudging through the snow and sliding along the roads. But picture it. Picture the sun radiating with pleasant, balmy heat to bask in. The breeze warm on your skin. And hold that image for a moment. You might need to hold it for more than a moment if you believe what Margaret from Scunthorpe is saying on Facebook about the blizzard that's due, but that's another story. Picture now a person in a darkened room. The curtains are all closed and they're huddled up in front of a small electric fire. A perfectly healthy person huddled in front of a 2-bar electric fire, whilst the weather outside is warm and wonderful and welcoming, bent over an artificial heat source when they could be warmed outside in the glorious warmth and heat of the sun. Why? 2-bar electric fire or the sun? Hold that for a moment. Ignatius of Loyola, who was a Spanish Basque Catholic priest and theologian who founded the religious order called the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, stated that our very purpose is to praise, revere, and serve God, giving him glory in all that we do, say, and think, that we worship at all times, and that all created things are there to help us do this. Rather than focus ourselves on the 2-bar electric fire of our own self-power and possessions, we should orientate ourselves around the sun. And when I say that, I don't mean the big orange thing that's often in the sky, by the way. I mean Christ himself. As we heard in that reading from Philippians, St. Paul regards everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. In comparison to Christ, all other things are absolute rubbish. He turned away from his 2-bar electric fire, his paltry heat source of his own resources, his own doing, and threw wide open the curtains and stepped into Christ's light. Christ was his goal, his aim, his centre. And I wonder this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning as we gather here in this place of worship, just what are we worshipping? Are we worshipping bank balances, competence, jobs, balance, comfort, self-control, possessions, stuff, or self? Are we huddled down in the gloom, kings or queens of our own 2-bar fire world? Or are we worshipping God, the heartbeat of creation, the one who blasted off the doors of death and hell in a fanfare of resurrection power? He who knows us, he who loves us, he who calls us into his magnificent light. I don't know about you, but I think the real truth is that as we journey through life as disciples, we waver and sometimes stumble between both positions. One day, God is firmly at the centre. The next, we're huddled down in front of the 2-bar electric fire. It's a battle, isn't it, of forgiveness and failure. So I wonder if today we need a Lenten hoof right up the proverbial. And maybe this hoof comes in the shape of the passage that we've just heard. We're at a dinner party in Bethany. Bethany, by the way, means place of the poor. So I think that also adds another perspective to what's following, the events that are coming, the drama. Jesus is at the heart of the gathering with his friends. Among them is Lazarus, now very much alive, as Jesus has just raised him from the dead. He's turned a house of mourning into a house of joy. And Lazarus' sisters, of course, Mary and Martha, are there. The scene is set for this beautiful action. Mary takes a pound of nard. Now, I don't know if you know what nard is. I had a look, and it's a very expensive perfume that's red in colour that smells like gladiola. A pound of this spice would have been huge and lavish. Mary has purchased the very best. And Mary anoints Jesus' feet and wipes them with her hair. And as I said as we began, actually, if you read Mark's account of this, she anoints Jesus generously. She pours it not just on his feet, but also on his head, which no doubt runs down and perfumes the garments that he's wearing. This perfume is top notch, worth a year's wage of labouring. But Mary couldn't care less about the value of the perfume itself, but on the worth of Jesus, on the worth of her Lord. She praises, reverences, and serves Jesus with this perfume. She anoints him in an intimate act of servanthood. The fragrance of the oils, as we heard, fills the house. And if it had been poured on his head, as Mark said, I bet it also perfumed his clothes. And I wonder if it was still perfuming his clothes when he was dragged in front of the people by Pontius Pilate, hauled up and tried. I wonder if that perfume was filling his nose as he was being beaten and scourged by the Romans. I wonder if that perfume was surrounding him as he was crucified on the cross. The fragrance of the action that Mary performs wafts across the centuries. Because this story is about the cross. It's about Mary's courageous understanding and acceptance of what's to come, of Jesus' death. It's a profound signal that Jesus is really going to die. It's also a bold statement, a statement that no gift can be too precious, that shows gratitude for what Jesus is just about to do. But of course, not everybody appreciated what was going on, or the aroma, and Judas certainly didn't. To him, it stank. He perhaps also knew what was going on, also understood, but he didn't care a jot. Mary's generosity meets Judas's calculation. Why was this not sold, he's saying, and the money given to the poor? In reality, actually, what he's saying is, why wasn't this sold and the money lined my pockets? With forked tongue piety, Judas draws the curtains and turns to his own two-bar fire. Extravagant acts of love are not for him. And he pounces on Mary's act of love as a desperate waste of resources. He is a two-bar fire electric person. While Mary turns to the Son, to God's own Son, and does what she can for him, she gives her best freely and joyfully. She gives her all. But Judas just wants to rain down on her parade. He's drawn the curtains, turned in on himself into that place of deception, hiddenness, and self-justification. Mary praises, reverences and serves God in an act of unqualified devotion that looks back to the raising of Lazarus and ahead to the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus understands the symbolism of her actions and defends her. Leave her alone, he says. She bought the perfume that she might keep it for the day of my burial. This implication that Mary purchased the perfume to anoint Jesus' body. And she recognizes it now. In this place, in this moment, it is the right time to express her love and her devotion. Now is the moment. There is only now. Now is the time to love God, to turn to the Son. Now is the time to wake up and see the extravagant love of God. Now is the time for us to wake up and see the extravagant love of God for each of us. Now is the time to name the shabby two-bar fire for what it is, to draw back the curtains and turn to the light of God. And I wonder, as we sit or stand here this morning, how do we do this? Well, funnily enough, I'm not Mary, you might have noticed. And I don't have any nard handy either. In fact, I'm not entirely sure you could get it anywhere in Dover, including that lovely shop Stuff that sells all manner of things down in Dover. I haven't seen anybody raised from the dead. Jesus isn't likely to be sitting at my dinner table anytime soon. Well, in person, that is. But I wonder what it might be, what it might mean for me to love God lavishly. What it might mean for you to love God lavishly. To centre our lives and our attention on God. Well, of course, the answer for all of us to that question will differ. We all have our own versions of nard. But perhaps now is the moment to release that fragrance of love for Christ by forgiving someone. Maybe now is the moment to pour out the oil of love for Christ in the form of helping someone in need. Maybe now is the moment to seek confession for something and love Christ with the truth and step in to the light. Maybe now is the moment to love Christ by attending to him in prayer and reading scripture. Maybe now is the moment to love Christ by offering him a place at your table in the form of friend or stranger or refugee. Maybe now is the moment to rid yourself of stuff. That stuff that clutters up your life is not actually really that important, but it keeps us at a distance from God. Maybe now is the moment not just to say we love Jesus, but to show him the same unreserved love as Mary did. Whatever the moment is for you now, whether it's in that list or it's something else that you're sat there this morning holding on to, now is the moment to throw open the curtains, to kick that two-bar electric fire into touch and to reorientate ourselves fully and completely around the light of Christ. Let's do that today. Let's reorientate ourselves into the light of Christ.